Hello and welcome to Philosophical Entertainment, a podcast where if you're not philosophically entertained, our entertainment is only philosophical. My name is Danny Armstrong. Today on the show, we'll be meeting with my friend Michelle. Michelle is another past life regressionist, a Reiki master, a Reiki teacher, an animal Reiki master and teacher, and my personal favorite, an animal communicator. Before we meet Michelle, I just want to take a moment to tell you about our sponsors. Today's episode has been made in collaboration with Antara Pathways. This is a federally recognized nonprofit dedicated to compassionate guidance, end-of-life support, grief care, and stability services. If you or someone you love is navigating grief or end-of-life concerns, head on over to antarapathways.org to take a look at the amazing services offered. Before we meet with Michelle today, I want to take a moment to share a story of my own. About 6 or 8 months ago, I was doing a late night meditation. This was after a client's past life regression session. I find after these sessions, I often have a lot of excess energy. It's quite normal for me to need to meditate or do something grounding. On this particular evening, I found myself meditating, trying to relax and get ready for bed. And I started to doze off. I figured I would make the most of it and try and get some sleep. So I got up and turned off the lights to get into bed, and my dog Major made himself comfortable. He likes to crawl underneath my bed and sleep right beneath me. And as I drifted off, I found myself having a really peculiar thought. It felt like it came to me right at the moment I was about to fall asleep. This was likely some moment partway between the theta state and the delta state. All of a sudden, I found myself thinking how crazy it is that humans don't go for walks more often. I was thinking about how humans could be doing anything they want to do at any time at all, and they could be walking and they aren't. They should be walking every chance they get because walks are the best thing ever. This was such an unexpected thought, it came out of nowhere, and it definitely wasn't something that I felt I had thought of consciously. The best way I can describe this thought was like a feeling within my stomach, or a knowing this thought within my stomach. And this is something that I now have come to know as clear cognizance, the instant knowing of information, which is something that comes up in past life regression. If this had happened to me 2 or 3 years earlier, I don't know what I would have thought, but because of the type of work that I've been doing and the kind of interests that I have now, it doesn't seem too crazy to me to consider that maybe I picked up on one of Major's thoughts telepathically. As you can imagine, I have tried many times since then to connect with Major to see if I'm able to pick up on any more thoughts. So far for me, this has been unsuccessful. If you've had something similar happen, if you've found yourself wondering what your animals are thinking, I think you're going to enjoy today's episode. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Michelle, very much for being here. You've got a whole range of work that you do, working with animals and people. What were things like for you growing up? How did you come about this work? Did you have certain belief systems that were challenged with the work you do now?
I thought back on that and I really didn't. I mean, I've always been the person that, you know, even complete strangers would come up and start talking or tell me their problems. I've always been the person that will do anything I can to help you out, you know, try to find a way if you need something. But as far as this, I mean, I've been doing this now. Reiki, I've been doing, gosh, in March, my business will have been open 10 years. I didn't open up spiritually till I was 50 years old. I had my kids young. I was a single, there was no time in my life for anything like that. And then when they all finally moved out again after moving back home again, is when I kind of got on my spiritual path. I don't know how you got started, but for me, it was like my love of the paranormal. And that led me to like a ghost tour in a little town that's close to here. And I met my former best friend who was a psychic medium. And she taught me about spirit guides and crystals and all the things. And I kind of think of it like the game Candyland, where, you know, you start at the top and you wind your way through all these little paths and things. So I kind of like picture her putting me at the top and then winding, you know, I wound my way down to where I am right now. But yeah, I mean, if you would have told me 15 years ago, this is what I was doing, I would have told you were insane. But I've done it in many past lives, which I've been shown when I do past life regression. They always show me my life as a healer to remind me that this is really nothing new for my soul to be doing this. But yeah, but the Michelle now was like, really? This is what I'm doing? Okay.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, I think for me, a lot of my own curiosity with the paranormal and my fascination with fantasy sort of led me here as well. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I sort of started hearing people say, oh, we're all psychic. We just need to learn to tune into our abilities.
Yeah,
I found myself going, what? Is this real? I wish I knew this 10 years ago and I would have been practicing, you know. What were your thoughts when you first heard about it and about this idea of energy work?
So it's interesting. My very first experience with Reiki happened many years ago. We were in Phoenix, Arizona. My friend and I had gotten like a vacation home for like 10 days. And we went to a spa. I had my eyes closed and I felt like this heat on my head. I thought he had put like a hot cloth on my head. I said, did you put a hot cloth? And he's like, no, I'm doing Reiki. And then he explained it a little bit, but I mean, that was like in one ear and out the other, but little did I know that this is where I was going to end up at. So that was my very first experience with Reiki. And then it was like a kind of like a pagan tribe that was visiting here that we were doing some stuff with. And the lady did Reiki and I had, you know, quite the experience with that. And so it's kind of like, oh, I really want to learn, you know, how to do this. And she taught it, but we didn't, for some reason, we didn't mix well. So my friend and I found someone locally here who was very traditional Asui Reiki to the point of she was still charging $10,000 to be a Reiki master. We had to, you know, we couldn't bring the symbols home. We had to burn them. I mean, it was really, really traditional. And so I did my level one and level two with her. And then because I don't have $10,000 to become a Reiki master, I went to a second Reiki master and got my advanced Reiki training and my mastery, Asui mastery through them. So yeah, Reiki was my stepping stone. And then from there, I did that for many years before anything else was put in front of me. I always find it interesting, and you probably feel the same way. It's like spirit or the universe, you know, whatever will put in front of you a class or, you know, and you're like, okay. And then you can't get it out of your head. And that to me is my sign. I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to take it. So yeah, but Reiki was definitely the first thing that I did.
Wow, that's amazing. And is the Usui Reiki, is that the main Reiki you do now, or you've changed over to something different?
I do Usui Reiki, but I also do Holy Fire 3 Reiki and Karuna Reiki. When Holy Fire Reiki came in, they kept the Usui symbols. So it is a combination. And then there are other new symbols with Holy Fire and with Karuna. Holy Fire, you get one more symbol. Karuna, there's 8, I think. Yeah, 8 more. I have so many symbols in my head between all of this. But I didn't do it for a while. I thought about it and I was like, I'm happy with Asui. But then the more I took classes like animal Reiki classes and the more I heard about Holy Fire and how it's different the way you teach it is differently, the way you do attunements and all that kind of stuff is different, then I was like, okay, I think I do need to take this. But it took me a while. I had like a list of things, my priority list, and it had fallen way to the bottom. That just tells me that when I would think about it, it wasn't the right time for it yet, for whatever reason. Or maybe the energy wasn't completely developed yet, because I know they went through stages. There was Holy Fire 1 and then 2, and now we're at 3. So, you know, that could be why. But I experienced it when I took my first animal Reiki class, because animal Reiki is kind of burst out of that Holy Fire energy. And I mean, and that was amazing. So that was my kind of my first little taste of it. And it is different than the Asui. It really is. So it took me a while. So I stayed traditional for a long time.
Our friend Coda, she does the angelic Reiki as well. There's crystal Reiki. There are so many different types of Reiki. How would you explain the difference between these all and how the attunements work?
Don't know. Exactly. I need to ask Claudia about angelic Reiki, because I would like to know what that is. And I know there's shamanic Reiki, and like you said, there's crystal Reiki, and there's, you know, there's all these Reikis. And I don't know the difference because I've never had them. I can tell you with Holy Fire and Karuna both, they come from a higher level of consciousness. We're really working in Holy Fire. We really start working with the brothers and sisters in the light. That's where I began to work with Metatron. He came in and I work with him, and I have some other angels and entities that I don't know who they are yet. I feel them, but they haven't introduced themselves to me yet, but I know that they're there, you know, working with me. Holy Fire Reiki, what I'm finding with it, with my clients, is it brings up, even if it's like something really traumatic they went through, it brings it up so gently, and then it just releases it. That's one of my clients. She's like, it brought it up and I just saw it go poof and it was gone. I think it's really powerful, yet it's really gentle too. And involved in Holy Fire is we do obviously the traditional, the hand positions and stuff for Asui. We use those symbols also, but then bringing in the Holy Fire energy too. And we call them experiences, which are very healing. So a lot of times before I get to the Reiki part of my sessions, I'll use my intuition to figure out what experience that they might need. It's like a 5-minute guided meditation, but it puts them in such a deep state of relaxation. And then that's when that healing can take place. And so while they're doing when I leave them in silence for the experience, is then I come in and I do the Reiki. And so it all flows together and all works together. So I always, and when I, you know, first learned it, I thought, wow, this is really cool to be able to offer this. And there's so many different types for, you know, there's one that is for, like, say you were a premature baby, or you had problems in the womb, or your parents were having issues while you were in the, you know, stuff like that for healing, that kind of stuff. So there's some things that are very specific. And then there's one that just kind of scans the timeline in this lifetime and brings up whatever needs to be healed at the time.
Amazing. I have come across a lot of these different videos on YouTube for really specific things with Reiki. And yeah, I have wondered how that works. And if we were using Reiki videos, do we still benefit from something even if we don't quite have the right issues or the right problems? Is there still a benefit that we must get from this? And I guess with that as well, with connecting to Reiki energy as a client, I've had times where I may not feel anything, and then I've had other times where I feel like I'm leaving my body.
Right.
Do you think we're getting a whole lot of benefits no matter how we're connecting with it?
I do. I used to believe that, you know, you really couldn't, even though we do have a distance symbol, so we connect energetically with the distance symbol. But like I would see, you know, people doing Reiki online and the attunements, and I'm like, there's no way. You have to do it in person and stuff. And then Holy Fire came along during the pandemic, and William Rand, who was the head of the International Center for Reiki Training, received messages guiding him to make it so people could do Reiki sessions online and they could teach because nobody could go anywhere. So I do think so. And I think as far as, you know, I've seen the YouTube and TikTok videos and stuff, and, you know, this Reiki is for whatever, prosperity, abundance, or for the heart chakra or whatever it is. And I think it's all about the intent. You're setting the intention for the Reiki energy to be for that purpose. So, and even if I was to set the intent for something like that and someone came along and that's not what they needed, Reiki knows what you need. So That's what's so cool about it. Like, I have a bad knee. I've got really bad arthritis in my knee. And so if my students are working on me, even if somebody's up here at my head, it goes immediately to my knee because it knows that that's what I need.
Yeah, it really is amazing. I was quite similar to you. I saw things online during COVID and I thought, oh my gosh, you're so full of it. This cannot work in a video. And then I ended up actually signing up to a Reiki course online. I just thought, I'm really interested in reading the material and understanding Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
But at one part of the course, we did have to book in for our attunement, and I couldn't get to the next part without booking it. So I thought, okay, well, I'll just book it in and it doesn't matter. It's not going to work. Nothing's going to happen. As soon as I hit the book now button, my body started, it was before I went to bed, and my body started like almost vibrating. I was trying to sleep. It was late at night and I don't know how to explain it. There was stuff happening. It freaked me out to start with, to be honest. I thought, oh my gosh, this is powerful stuff. I think you're meant to do your 30 days of Reiki when you first get your attunement. So the first couple of days I did it and I was feeling stuff happening. I could definitely feel movements within my chest, within my stomach, wherever I was focusing the energy. It was incredible. And unfortunately, I was a bad student. I didn't carry on with the practice. So I really do want to get back into it.
Well, you've been attuned. So if you just start practicing again, it doesn't go away.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Even, you know, hit 5 minutes each spot, either in the morning or in the evening. I do mine in the evening just because I like it to relax me and it helps me sleep. So that's when I do myself Reiki. But some people do it first thing in the morning, you know, and that works for them. But yeah, if you just started doing that, Reiki your dog, Reiki the cat, the green. And I think you'll find it's going to come back immediately because it doesn't go anywhere. Just may be a little dormant right now. Yeah. So you should totally do that. But yeah, I find it interesting that my students report to me as soon as they sign up for a Reiki class, they start noticing changes and things start shifting. When you said that, it reminded me of that. It's like the energy knows this is coming. And I think that there's things that we have to do to prepare for it. Things that need to heal, things that need to clear out to basically make room, you should definitely start practicing again.
Absolutely, I will. I guess that's something else that I've wondered about with the effects of Reiki. It must be really difficult to measure what's working, what's having an effect. I know with Clodagh, she mentioned your session with her and Ralph, and she said she had never seen Ralph like that before. She said he had the Reiki eyes. He was so relaxed. Do some people have more effective Reiki? Is a certain type of Reiki more effective? Is it the length of time someone's practiced?
I mean, obviously, if you're practicing more, I don't want to say the stronger it is, the more you practice, the more your intuition grows, I think, when it comes to it. I don't think I could say one Reiki was better than the other. Of course, I don't know about any of the others, but I'm assuming they're just as good. You know, it's all about the one thing is trying to help people and to heal. You know, I've thought about taking some other ones and I'm like, no, I think I'm good. I don't want to do too much. But yeah, I think the more you practice, the more you kind of realize things. And I guess maybe the stronger it gets, maybe, I don't know. I mean, because technically it's not us. We're a conduit for the energy to flow through. So now, are there true healers and stuff like that? Of course, you know, but of course there are. And I find myself doing things that aren't part of Reiki that I have been told that I'm bringing up from when I was a healer in a past life that come through. You know, I don't speak light language, but I've started doing it with my hands. So I fully expect at some point I might start speaking it. I'd be curious to know how they do their attunements, like angelic Reiki. How do they do their attunements and stuff like that? Because the attunements changed, the process changed with holy fire. You know, in a sui, we used to like touch the shoulders, touch the crown, come around, blow on the third eye, blow on the solar plexus. And the thought when holy fire came through, the thought of that was, well, you're not getting the pure Reiki energy because you're obviously getting from the Reiki master. Because, I mean, I'm blowing right on you and I'm touching you and I'm, you know, not that that wasn't okay. It was okay. But with holy fire now, we don't call them attunements anymore. We call them placements. And the placements are for level 1, 2, and then a sui master symbol. And then after that, for holy fire and for karuna, they're called ignitions. They're guided meditations. And so when I first heard that, and that was when I took my animal Reiki level 1 class, because that was online, I was like, there's no way that this can, you know, she's in Arkansas and I'm here and there's no way, man. It does. It really does. And so it's a different way. And that way the student is getting nothing but that pure Reiki energy coming into them to attune them. So we don't call them attunements anymore. It's placements and ignition.
Do you think that as humans, do we have a natural ability even without the placements?
I think so. I think so. I think everybody can heal themselves or work on themselves. Like I said, I think Reiki comes just from that higher level of consciousness. But yeah, I think everybody innately, just like you said, everybody has psychic abilities, but people just don't slow down long enough or care to realize that. I think so. And I've had students that before we even do the placements and stuff like that, I have them practice because I want them to feel the difference between after they have their placements and ignitions. Some of them already feel the heat, they feel the buzzing. So, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So through your Reiki work with animals, you found that you started getting messages from them and being able to communicate with them. What was this like? How did this come through to begin with?
It was crazy. It was it my level 2? Yeah, because animal Reiki, it's like level 1 is one day and level 2 is the following day. And it was after my placement, Sage, who's one of my shih tzus, jumped in my lap and we proceeded to have a conversation right in the middle of class. It was telepathic, but I was like, I raised my hand and I'm like, excuse me. I'm like, I just had a conversation with my dog. And he's like, oh, yeah, that happens. That happens. Now I became with my Reiki level 2, not animal, but just Reiki level 2, is when I became clairaudient. And I was able to start hearing spirits and my spirit guide. My mom was actually the first one that I heard. I was making a cake for my dad for his birthday. It was the year after she passed. And she was lecturing me about doing something wrong with the cake. And it was clearly her. It was clearly her voice. And so that's when I realized that I had become clairaudient. So, yeah. So when Sage spoke to me, I was like, oh, oh, that was crazy. It increased a little bit. Then when I did my animal Reiki mastery, I was sitting out on the front porch before class, the second day of class. And that's when I had the conversation with the oak tree across the street, which I think you've seen the video with Melvin. And real quick for your listeners, I heard someone say, you trust me, don't you? And I was like, who? Where's that coming from? And he said, it's me, Melvin, the live oak across the street. He's like, I hear you talk to the man talking about my neighbor about cutting me down, because we were concerned, a little concerned about him. If he goes, he's coming right on top of my house and he's a big tree. And he said, I want to reassure you, my roots run deep and I protect you and you don't have anything to worry about. And I mean, it was just as clear. Are you clear, audio? Do you hear?
No. If I ever hear anything, I just put it down to insanity at this stage.
Well, I mean, but it's like when you heard Major about the, you know, you do think you're talking to yourself, but you're not. It just comes in. It's weird. So, yeah, that was my first conversation with a tree. Which we say hi to each other every day. But yeah, that started it more. It was still a little sporadic. And then one of the licensed Reiki master teachers with the International Center for Reiki Training developed a course in animal communication for Reiki practitioners. And so I took that. And then when I took that, then I really was able to start, you know, being able to connect and everything. So, yeah. But I mean, I'll still walk out in the garden and I'll hear, you know, if I water one plant, the rest of them are like, hey, you know, what about us? And you have to, sometimes you have to shut it off. Because if you went out there and you were fully, you know, open, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I've had birds yell at me. There was a little wren and she used to build her nest up in like my porch. And I was sitting out on the porch one day, it was spring, and she was just like, go away, go away, go away. And I'm like, excuse me. And she said, this is my house. I allow you to build your nest there. And she flew off in a little titter. So yeah, it kind of comes and goes, unless I'm focused on doing a session like with Ralph or somebody else. So, but yeah, it's crazy.
The first time I heard about somebody that was able to talk to trees, I thought, okay, they're crazy. And now I find myself thinking that I'm crazy because I can't talk to trees, I can't talk to plants. But I have thought how handy it would be, particularly for people that aren't great with gardening, to just be able to be told by a plant how much water they need. Do they need more sun?
And I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to hear like I do the clairaudient. I mean, there's so many different clairs. So you could spend time with the tree and ask it questions, and it may just be like a knowing, or it may show you something instead. It may be through clairvoyance instead or something like that. So there's all kinds of, it could be smell. And when I took that animal communication class, I didn't realize just how many clairs there are. I just always thought clairvoyance, clairaudience, you know, but there's so many.
When you are communicating with animals and plants and trees, do you know what part of their consciousness you're connecting to? Do they seem to be consciously aware of the conversation, or is it more of a higher level that you seem to connect with?
So far, I believe it's their consciousness. Maybe when it's an animal that's crossed over, it may be a little higher level because they've crossed over. But yeah, if they're here, cats are hysterical. cats are always very interesting to speak with. And for me, for the process, and I don't think this is everybody, I am put in my mind's eye, I'm put in like an empty room, and then I call the animal in, and I always make note, because I do this through automatic writing is the way I do it. That seems to be the best way for me to do it. And so I'll call the animal in and I pay attention to how, you know, like some dogs just run in and they sit at your feet and they're like, yeah, what? You know, what do you want? And cats are usually like, what? And so I introduce myself to them. I tell them, you know, I can hear them. I can see if they want to show me something. And that, you know, mom or dad has some questions for them, would they like to speak with me? Sometimes they do and sometimes they won't. Sometimes they've got something else they'd rather do. And if that's the case, then I just try another day, basically. There's only one animal that I have yet to speak with me, and that's a snake named Mango, and she just will not talk to me. And I don't know if she's ever going to speak with me or not. So once they come in and if they agree, because it's always left up to them, just like animal Reiki, we never force anything. if an animal doesn't want to take the energy, then, you know, we don't do it. So once I come in, if they agree to it, then I make a connection through the heart chakra. And to me, it looks like, do you remember Care Bears? Am I dating myself? Okay. You remember like the rainbows? And that's what it looks like. It's like, so our heart chakras connect. And then we have the conversation. And it's usually best, I like to tell people, give me a couple questions that you want to ask just to kind of get the conversation flowing. And then usually they'll tell me whatever else they have, you know, on their minds.
Wow, that is amazing. So you see for animals that maybe have certain behavioral issues or things like that, do you ever see changes in behavior once they maybe understand, I don't know, that something is for their own good? Your mum's not doing this to hurt you. You actually do need a bath sometimes.
I have a friend that had a dog that, I can't remember what it was exactly, but they were rushing her in the mornings and she needed time to be able to go outside and stuff like that. And once she told me that, sometimes it's the human that will change their behavior. And then that influences the animal too. So by me letting them know how she felt about certain things that they were doing, they took that in consideration and then it was a lot better for her. So, yeah, I did communicate with this dog, a dog that was very reactive, like in the car, barking at everything and stuff like that. And the her mom wanted to take her to training, but she couldn't take her to training because she barked at all the other dogs and stuff like that. So we worked on that and she did get better. And she texted me, I think it was like last month, she texted me. She's like, I'm able to. She started doggy training, you know, puppy training or whatever now. So it did help. And sometimes you have to get to, especially if they're like a rescue, like with Ralph, you know, he was a street dog in Cyprus and has a lot of basically PTSD stuff that he gets triggered real easy about. So, you know, she didn't know that until I was able to talk to him and find that out. So where we go from now is, you know, just doing animal Reiki with him. And then I'll check in with him and see if he wants to talk, if there's anything else he needs.
With things such as big changes that may be coming up in someone's life, say they are about to move house, that can be quite traumatic for animals. With my own cats and my dog Major, I tried to prepare them for it by just telling them nearly every day up until we moved, things are going to be put in different places. They're going to be put in boxes and we're going to move to a new house. But don't worry, you're coming with me. And I just tried to tell them what was going on. And I have one cat in particular who I thought was going to be just mortified by this whole move. And I thought I'm probably going to have to keep her in the house for maybe up to three months is honestly what I was thinking. I was able to let them out on the second day that we moved here. They were so calm, so relaxed, and I was just amazed. Do you think that even though I don't consider myself an animal communicator, was that helpful for them?
It was reassuring to them. So they didn't have all that stress and anxiety. And, you know, you basically gave them the steps. Okay, there's going to be a bunch of boxes. We're packing stuff up, but it's just because we're moving to a new house. And yes, you're coming with me. That saying that, I think, is a huge thing, because if you hadn't said that, they probably would have worried, you know, are we going to be left behind? Are we? And they're so afraid of being separated from, you know, or being left, especially if it's a rescue. But yeah, you did a good job. You did a good job by doing.
So they are to some level still able to understand the intention of what we're saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. Yep.
They are. Okay. They're smarter than you think.
Wow. I love that.
It's so funny. When I started doing animal communication, I'm like, am I doing this right? Because my teacher, she's done it for years. She has horses and stuff, and she'll get spiritual messages from the horses and stuff like that. And I'm getting things from a cat that's like, I want more treats, or I want, you know, or stuff like that. And then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, well, I mean, that's what it is for them. It's food. It's love. I'm not going to get unless I ask some spiritual or philosophical question or something like that, then that's what I'm going to get was how, because a lot of the questions that get asked is, how can I make your life better? Well, okay. I want my blue ball. I want my, you know, stuff like that. So in the beginning, I was kind of like, God, am I doing this right? And why am I not getting, you know? And then I was like, no, that's, it's an animal. That's what they think about, or that's what they want, or whatever. So, yeah.
So for someone who may be listening, who is, maybe they've had experiences where they've felt they've connected to an animal, they might want to work on it more, or maybe this is totally new for them and they just want to give it a go. What kind of advice do you have for somebody wanting to connect with their animals?
I mean, I would just, of course, I've done it through a class, but I would just listen, you know, sit quietly, ask the question, and see if you get any kind of response, whether clairaudient or whether you see something or it's just a knowing or something like that. And yeah, I would just try to do that. Now, I will tell you that our own animals are oftentimes the hardest ones to communicate with. I have a friend who is an animal communicator that reached out to me. She's like, I cannot get this cat to talk to me, her cat, but the cat talked to me. So one of mine wasn't eating for some reason, and I had to reach out to her. I'm like, will you please talk to Jasper, because he's not talking to me. So, and I think it's because we're too close. So you may find that too. You may not get anything because we're so close to them. I remember my teacher said that. She's like, your animals are the hardest, personally, are the hardest ones to speak with.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't try.
That's really reassuring, because I imagine a lot of people must feel that frustration. So you are also teaching Reiki, both for people and for animals, animal Reiki and human Reiki.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What sort of classes do you have? Do you offer the entire range or level?
I do. I offer all the way from Reiki level one and two up to Karuna. So it would be, if you had no Reiki, you would start off with level one and level two, which is the Asui traditional. And then you would do Holy Fire, Asui Holy Fire Mastery, where in that one, you get the Asui Master Symbol. And then you get the Holy Fire Symbol and you learn more about Holy Fire and that kind of stuff. And then from there, the next level is to go to Karuna. Animal Reiki, anyone that's a level two practitioner or higher can take animal Reiki. It can also be from any lineage too. And with animal Reiki, you know, with between level two and mastery, you know, there's a waiting period, obviously. It's supposed to be 6 months. Sometimes if I know my students have really been practicing on themselves and practicing on others, I'll let them go a little bit earlier than that. But with animal Reiki, you can take animal Reiki one and two one weekend. And if you wanted to do animal Reiki mastery the next weekend, that's fine. So there's no like waiting period in between that. But yeah, I do teach them all. I'm actually just waiting for my animal communication teacher to get the manual done. So I'm hoping this year to be able to teach animal communication for Reiki practitioners. So I'm really excited about that. I keep bugging her. I'm like, Pam, when's it going to be done? Because wow. I'm really excited about teaching that. And then that would be level one, level two, level three is considered like you would be a professional animal communicator. And then eventually I'll be teaching how to teach it for others too. So like a master teacher class. So I'm really excited about offering that. Like I said, it's going to be for Reiki practitioners. I know there are a lot of people that would like to take animal communication, but this one is for Reiki practitioners because it is connected, especially with the symbols, it is connected to Reiki energy. So
people wanting to learn Reiki, they don't always have to have the intention of learning it to become a Reiki practitioner. I see that people use Reiki for all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
On their food, on their drink. I saw a video the other day and I couldn't work out if it was someone taking the piss. There was a girl who was doing Reiki on her boyfriend's car so that they wouldn't break down.
Done that. Done that. We were, yeah, it was like a hot, because I miss Florida. It was a hot summer day, and my friend and I, and she was also a Reiki practitioner, and we were coming back from the store, and my car started to like die. And I'm like, okay. And so we're like drawing the symbols on the dashboard, and we're like giving it, and we made it home. And I'm not the only one that has, I've talked to other people that have done that too. And there's so many things you can do. Like, yes, you can Reiki your food. And the way I think about that, especially if you're, you know, out to eat, think about if the chef's having a bad day, then that energy is going into your food. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of almost like saying a prayer over your food, basically. But you're putting that, you know, the good energy in there. So yeah, there's food, Reiki in your plants, protection, you know, I'm down here with hurricanes and stuff like that. My neighbors, they're used to me now, but you know, if a hurricane's coming, I'm out in the yard drawing Reiki symbols like this, just putting a huge protection bubble over the whole block. And they have gotten to the point now, they're like, is the protection bubble up? Yes, it is. And we had a couple years ago, the most bizarre thing, which we had tornadoes come right through town. And I'm downtown, I'm in the capital of Florida. And I heard it, you know, above. And what it did is it jumped up and went back up into the, as it went over our block and then the block over, it came down. And I checked in with my spirit guide. I'm like, is that the protection bubble? He's like, that protection bubble held. And I'm like, goodness. So yeah, you can use it for protection. Like you said, your car, you know, there's just so much that you can use it. So yeah, that's not crazy. I've done it.
Wow, that's amazing. When I saw the video, yeah, I thought, is this real? Is this a thing? And I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter because it is really entertaining, but it's still putting it out there for people being like, hey, Reiki is a thing. And I love when people are talking about this stuff. So I thought it was great.
And they're talking about it more too, which is wonderful.
So part of what you do with some of your students that I absolutely love is I've seen that you go to a few animal rescues and you're taking them out there to use their Reiki, practice their Reiki on some animals that have gone through a lot of stuff.
First of all, the first animal Reiki class that I taught in person, because I teach all my classes online. So if anybody's interested in taking a class, I do teach them online. But in person, I took them out to a friend of mine who has rescue pigs, and they had so much fun. I mean, yeah, we could sit here and we could work on my dogs, which, you know, yeah, okay. But it's more fun to go someplace like a rescue or work with rescue animals. At the time, my friend who owns it had just adopted or rescued a 400-pound pig named Diesel, who was the sweetest pig in the world. And then she's got like six other pigs. And so my students just loved it. They talk about it to this day, and getting to see their faces and getting to see them feel the energy and then watch the animals too, because what we do in animal Reiki a lot of times, especially in person, is we make like a Reiki zone. And so again, not forcing the animal to take the energy, so they can go in and out as they want. And so that's what we did with the pigs, is we made a Reiki zone and they stayed right in the middle. And I mean, they stayed perfectly still. And my students were just on the outside and they were just being, you know, sending Reiki to that circle. And yeah, they loved it. And then when we did mastery, a friend of mine has horses, and we went out and we did Reiki on her horses, and they loved that. They definitely loved that. So yeah, I try to plan some kind of little field trip. You know, it requires that they have to get to class a little bit earlier than normal, but it's worth it for them to just be able to practice and to experience it. Now, online, what we do is we have a lot of like webcam sites. And so we'll go to those sites, webcam set up in Africa or, you know, grizzly bear, you know, stuff like that, even zoos. And so I'll have them do distance animal Reiki on that. And we've gotten some good results with that. I remember one time it was in Africa and it was a watering hole and it was night and giraffes came over and they like came right to the camp. I mean, there was no doubt that the energy was getting through to them. So we try to do that. It's not as fun as going someplace real, but, you know, I try to do something anyway.
That's amazing. I had not even considered the animal cameras that are set up. That is such a creative idea. And I just think that it's so nice to be able to give back in the work that we're doing. So I think that's incredible work.
And now I'm doing work with the animal rescue that she opened up. I explained to her what I did, and she allows me to come down there and work on the horses. I'm really working with horses a lot, which I love, which I found very interesting since we're going into the year of the fire horse. I'm like, this is kind of interesting. Horse energy is just, I just love it. It's almost like my therapy when I go down there.
Part of your, one of the animal Reiki training that you do includes some placements for animals as well. Is that right?
So my dogs are attuned to Reiki basically because when I was getting my placements and my ignitions, they were right there in my lap. And so they were getting the energy too. You can attune or give a placement to your animal yourself. You have to obviously have the little meditation thing to do it. But yeah, you can do that. Or you can, you know, if you're just an Usui, you could do it that way, just using the master symbol and stuff like that. It's so interesting because right after Jasper, he's my youngest Shih Tzu, got his, I had class that weekend. And he was attuned. I have some clients that like the dogs to be out. They consider that part of their Reiki therapy. One of them, she always puts him up on the table and he's always like wagging his tail and wants to be pet. I put him up on the table and I could see the shift in his energy. He was so serious and he sat on her chest and he put his nose right up like over here to her mouth. Come to find out, she had just had dental surgery. And he was giving her Reiki. I have no doubt he was giving her Reiki. So, because his whole demeanor just shifted. And yeah, so you can definitely do that. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. As they're just walking around in day-to-day life, do you feel that there's still things happening with the people they're encountering? Or do you feel that when they are using their attunements, it is more of a conscious interaction like that?
I don't see them. Of course, there's not a whole, you know, when I have clients, they're locked away. So except for the few, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of interaction with people. So I don't know really, you know, if they do. I don't know if he was just, like I said, it had just been a couple days since he'd had his attunement. Now I put him up there on her chest and he's still, you know, he's like all about being pet again. So I don't know if it was a one-off. I do know when I take classes and stuff and I'm getting my, because I've retook a couple of classes. And so if I'm getting my ignitions or my placements, he's in my lap immediately. Sage did the same thing too. So, but as far, they don't really have an opportunity to do anything, you know, maybe if I worked with them more and, you know, had that as part, maybe, which I've never really thought about doing, maybe they would be. I don't know. But you see horses, especially, that are healers. There's a lady, mm-hmm. I can't think of her name, but she lays her Reiki table out in the middle of the pasture and then her clients come in and as she's doing, have you seen her? She's doing Reiki.
Yeah,
the horses come right up. And they do the same thing. They put their snouts on, you know, wherever the healing needs to take place. So then that's what it reminded me of when he did that. And that's kind of why I was like, he's doing Reiki or he's doing healing. So, yeah, but then I don't really have a whole lot of contact with people except mom.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of stuff about horses and about how powerful their energies are. So it totally makes sense to have some kind of option where you're doing healing with horses.
Yeah, I would love to take that a little bit further, but I mean, they're not my horses. So.
Yeah.
I do want to test them a little bit. I want to actually take a friend of mine out there and take the Reiki table out there and lay it out there. And I want to see while I'm doing Reiki, will they come around? So there's some testing I want to do with them and see exactly. Toby, who's the black and white horse that you see me work with, we actually have a soul connection. We have a past life connection. And so that's why he's my favorite. He's got my heart. And I work with him a lot doing Reiki and he's very receptive to it too. So, so maybe we'll see, you know, if she sees me doing that, maybe she would allow me to occasionally bring a client out there or something like that. I don't know. But yeah.
You also have a little bit of help from one of your dogs who is on the other side, I believe.
Cece. Yeah, Cece was my little Shih Tzu. I had to put her down, and she let herself be known in my level 2 placement for animal Reiki, that she was there on the other side. And so now when I work with communicating with animals that have crossed over the Rainbow Bridge, I actually see, and it was the bridge that I crossed when I had my, it sounds weird. When I had my placement, they take us over a bridge, and I was greeted by angels, and I was laid down in this field, and every animal circles you. And by doing that, they're saying, yes, we want you to have this energy. We want you to heal the animals and stuff like that. It was like a Disney movie. But anyway, she was there. So now when I talk to animals that have crossed over, she meets me on the bridge with that animal. So she brings the animal to me, and then she sits at my feet and she looks up at me like, look, Mom, look, you know, look what I'm doing for you on the other side. So she's like my little, almost like my little animal guide over there that helps. And then when I'm done talking to the animal, then she takes them back over to the other side. So yeah, she's like my little helper. And she was so cute. She weighed all of like 4 pounds. She was special. So when she started doing that, I was like, oh, thank you.
That's an amazing connection.
Yeah. It's almost like she's a little, I just heard little angel. So it's like she's a little angel. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
A couple things about animal communication that I do want to say. A lot of times, if you have a rescue dog or a rescue pet, a lot of times moms and dads want to know what happened to you before I got you, kind of thing. And a lot of times they don't want to share that. I've had some that have, but a lot of times they don't want to because they're concerned about mom and dad, because they know that you'll feel bad. You'll feel guilty. Of course, there's nothing you could have done because you weren't there, but they don't. You're so concerned about us and about our feelings and about, even when they're passing, I had a cat that I was talking to. A friend of mine reached out and she's like, I think that Mocha, you know, is probably getting ready to pass. Will you talk to her? And she was hanging on because she didn't want to see them upset. She didn't want to see them cry. And so I told him, I said, you need to let her know it's okay, you know, to go ahead and go. And then she passed a couple hours later. So when it comes to stuff about, you know, I'll ask, but we may not get an answer because I've had a dog that was like, nope, only happy stuff, and refused to tell me anything about that. So I think that's so sweet, you know, how much they care for us and don't want us to be hurt or crying or worried about something that we had no control over because we weren't there.
That's beautiful. I love animals, and I'm like, hearing that, I just think we don't deserve them.
No.
One thing I touched on before we started was the question of whether you find that animals, dogs in particular, do they want the TV on? Do they want to hear someone talking when we've left the house? I heard this on the radio a few weeks ago and I thought, okay, this is an interesting debate.
I think so, especially if a dog has separation anxiety. I think it helps. I've found some that I've talked to that are like really worried about, you know, mom coming home, and that it does help to leave that on. As we discussed too, it also helps to say, you know, hey, I'm just running to the store. I'll be right. I even do it if I'm running out the door to the mailbox. I'm like, just checking the mail. I'll be right back. You know, kind of thing. Any kind of reassurance that you can give them that you're going to, you know, that you're going to be back helps. And yeah, just having a sound. I know I've discovered on YouTube, there's like a dog channel or something for your dog to, and it's like 8 hours long or something. It's so, and I guess it starts back over again. So yeah, any kind of noise, I leave the TV on for mine, or I put music on or something like that, just because I kind of feel like they need something, you know, whether it's to block out what's outside or, you know, just to feel comfortable. So yeah, I would.
Absolutely. I have subscribed to, I think it's called Musical Pause for Major when I'm gone.
Oh, I love it. Cats, they don't care.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Cats do not care.
You mentioned having a past life with Toby. So I know you through past life regression. How did you get into past life regression? What drew you to explore that?
It popped up on Instagram and I saw it and I couldn't get it out of my head. And so I checked in with Spirit and I was like, am I supposed to do this? And they're like, yeah. And then I was like, well, what does that have to do with Reiki and being a healer? And they're like, you'll understand. And I was like, okay. And I was like, you're going to provide the money for this, right? And they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Which they always do somehow. So I took the class. It wasn't Myra's class. Did you check with Myra?
So I did my training with Myra and Scott.
So Scott, I did it with Scott, but it was somebody else that was teaching with him at the time. So I didn't have Myra, but I had Scott. And so, yeah, I took the class and I was like, wow, you know, this is really cool. And yeah, apparently, like I said, Reiki has been the stepping stone to whether it's working with animals or past life regression, or, you know, I do crystal healing too, that's connected to Reiki energy also. You know, so it's like, yeah, it's like I started here and now I'm finding all these other things. So that's how I just came across an acquaintance posted that she had just done the class. And I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I might like to do this. And yeah, that's how I started.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you have much of an awareness of your own past lives through Reiki or through your connection with your guides before learning past life regression?
Only being told that I'd been a healer in many lives. I had tried past life regression several times and never got anywhere. I mean, I would be so frustrated because it's like, all I see is purple. All I see is purple. Couldn't go anywhere. And then there's a little town here in Florida called Casadega, and it's like a spiritualist camp, but it's full of psychics and healers and stuff like that. And I went down there and I found, he's a shaman, and he's the first one that actually got me there. And I think I saw four past lives during that session. And so that was the first time that I had ever, yeah, other than being told by, you know, my spirit guide that I've been a healer in a lot of past lives. So, and then when we practiced in class, then I saw my life as a, I don't know if it was a native, it was some kind of Indian whose grandfather was like the medicine man. And then when he passed, they honored me by taking that position. And then I saw myself how I died. I had like a big bear claw. I was laid out and I had gotten attacked by a bear. But the reason I was shown that is because of my doubt, because I still have a little bit of doubt about it, not so much anymore back then I did. And so Spirit, and you know, they're like, look, you've done this before, stop it. So those were my experiences with it. So yeah, a little bit.
That's incredible. I actually find it quite reassuring when I hear of other people who had maybe tried past life regression and not had this amazing experience the first time, because that was very much like me. I felt like, oh my gosh, I had a whole lot of weird, I don't want to say motion sickness, it wasn't quite that, but I was thinking, I can feel so much going on, but I can't make sense of it. Have you found since that initial experience where you saw those four lives, has it been quite easy for you to be a client?
It has. In fact, the last time that I did it was, I had this unknown reason that I was afraid to ride in cars with people, to the point where if we were going to take a trip or something like that, even 6 months out, I would almost be at a panic attack level about it. And I'm like, this might be past life bleeding in. And so I had my friend who was in class with me do a session. And sure enough, my last incarnation, I was with my husband. We were on vacation and it was like 1920s, maybe something like that. I saw we were in like New York City or some big city, and it showed us getting into a cab or something. And then all I saw was like black, white, black, white, black. And we rolled, and then all of a sudden he and I were up above the cab. And so when I got up to Spirit Guide Resolution and I talked to Norman, he's like, I can't promise you that nothing like that's going to happen in this life. He's like, but what I want you to learn from this is you cannot stress yourself out about this constantly and basically ruin the good time that you're going to have with your friends on your road trip because you're so, you know, panicked about this. And so then I actually went to, because I go to therapy and I do what's called EMDR therapy, really good. And I went to her and she buys into all my stuff. That's why I love her so much. So like I gave her Many Lives, Many Masters to read. And she's like, oh my God, I'm thinking about my clients so differently now, you know, kind of thing. And I asked her, I said, would you consider, because I know I have this past life thing I need to get rid of, can we use EMDR to, and we did, and it's gone. So there's an example of how the past lives can bleed into our current life.
They really can. And one thing that I find really interesting about when I do past life regression with my clients is they can see a lifetime like that where it ends quite badly, whether it's a sudden death or even ends in betrayal or something. And so I'm sitting there as the practitioner thinking, oh gosh, that was some tough stuff. And it always amazes me that they say, oh my gosh, I feel so much lighter now. I feel so much better. And it took me a while to actually understand that it's just that somehow they're able to release the emotions or release the energy and realize that this anxiety I had about this was not my own, or mm-hmm. it was not from this life. Because I initially thought, if anything, wouldn't that make you even more afraid to trust someone, even more afraid to get into a vehicle? It does the complete opposite for so many people. So it has been really amazing work to do, and it's blown me away.
I think it's interesting, and I think it helps them too once we get up to Spirit Guide Resolution or higher self or whoever wants to talk, basically. And they find it. I don't know about your sessions, but mine in particular are definitely shown. They're always shown a life that has to do with the current life. And then as I'm sitting there as the guide, as the practitioner, I'm trying to think, okay, what does this have to do with their current life? And sometimes I can nail it. And other times I'm like, oh, okay. But I think it helps them to explain, like for my daughter, for example, her past life, when we did her past life, that was insane. That's one that I'm like, wow. She was a young man in Georgia who was crazy in love with this girl, and they were going to get married. They've been together since they were kids. Long story short, he couldn't get out of work. He was supposed to meet her at the lake. She slipped, she fell, she drowned, and he ended up committing suicide. He ended up killing himself. And then when we got up to Spirit Guide Resolution, which I know her spirit guide, I talked to her spirit guide a lot. She's got a lot going on. I'm like, please, somebody talk. But when we got up and talked to her spirit guide, it had to do with how in many past lives she has not found, you know, true love, or she's lost true love, or it was something like that. But it really made her stop and think, you know, about a lot of stuff, and it did help her. Plus her soulmate hijacked the thing, the conversation too. We got to talk to him for a while, and it was a crazy session. It was a crazy session. But yeah, I think getting up there and being able to talk to you, to your spirit guide and stuff, you know, that helps a lot too. And that's fascinating. I don't know about you, but I mean, they channel them, voices change, the way they speak changes. I'm like, this like a real deep voice all of a sudden. I'm like, it's so cool.
Yes, it blows me away that it paints such a picture for you when the voices change. You realize, oh, this is a spirit guide who is presenting themselves as a young child, or, oh, this is a wise old man. And you could be talking to a 25-year-old woman, but it's amazing, yeah.
And they speak in the third person. She needs to do this, or she, you know, this was about this for her, or whatever. That's how I know that this is a spirit guide, you know, definitely coming through. Some of them it's like pulling teeth to get any answers. It'd be like a one word response and you're like, can you give me more? And some of them are so chatty and they're funny and they'll talk about anything. I love that part of it. It's amazing to me.
Again, I do notice a lot of them have a lot of attitude. They'll say, oh, we get so sick of telling her. She just needs to love herself. She does this every lifetime.
It's so funny. I love it. I absolutely love it.
With the work that you do, you've got such a strong connection with animals. And I thought it was really funny this morning when I saw your post about your client seeing herself as a bunny rabbit.
Yeah.
I haven't had any clients yet who have seen past lives as animals, but do you notice themes in the work you do with past life regression, either dropping into a lot of animal lifetimes or even clients' pets being relevant in the past life itself that they're seeing?
The bunny, that's the first client I've ever had that had an animal life. That she was my very first one, which I thought was really cool. I mean, besides me and Toby, there may have been a client that recognized their dog as their dog now. I mean, I fully believe that, yeah, they're part of our like little soul family or soul group or whatever. But no, just besides the bunny rabbit and that one client and then me, you know, knowing about Toby, the horse, that's the only ones I've come in contact with so far.
Do you find it difficult to stay grounded with all the work that you're doing? You're going in and out of so many different modalities. Do you have advice for people needing to ground?
It's the social media part that keeps me crazy. Yeah, I mean, there are times when I just need to shut down. I just need to stop and take a couple days off and watch a movie, you know, and just do nothing but watch movies or something, like, you know, or go outside or go to the beach or go down to the animal rescue is usually what I do, because it does become a lot, because I do offer, you know, so many different things and stuff. So yeah, there are times when I have to just step back, basically. And sometimes it's been for a couple days, and there's sometimes where I've like needed longer than that. But yeah, I do. And when you feel like that, whether it's burnout or whatever it is, then it's very important to just stop, step away, just step away and ground, go sit under a tree or, you know, whatever it is that you like to do to get away.
Absolutely. Self-care is so important. This client who saw themselves as the bunny rabbit, that was in a group past life regression, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Are these sessions that you will be doing regularly?
They are, yes. I'm going to, I didn't offer one this month online, but I have one in person that I'm doing locally, that I'm actually, a friend of mine that's a sound healer, we're actually going to incorporate a sound bath to kind of integrate them back in. But I do want to try to offer like once a month online if I can, you know, with the group. You know, when we're doing one-on-one, we're having that dialogue back and forth. With the group, you have to keep your thoughts in your head when I'm asking the questions and stuff. So I kind of tell people, it's like, if you've ever wondered about doing past life regression, it's a good way to start, because you kind of just get little glimpses of past lives, but we don't go as deep as if we were doing the one-on-one kind of thing. But we still go through the life, you know, see how you died, what you do after you died. We do go up and open the door for them to speak with ancestors or spirit guides or their higher self. So they still get a little bit of that. But yeah, it's interesting because I've done group past life regression at a couple of places around town that weren't like real quiet. And people have had, they still get there, but a couple of those people did the online and they preferred it because you're at home, you're in your own space, it's quiet. So I think that's why I'm going to start doing them more online.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that so many people are, I guess it's that there's a lot of fear around the work often, especially if it's your first time. And I think that maybe it just takes a bit of pressure off people if they're laying there and they don't see something initially, it's okay. They don't have to tell you. They can just continue to relax, wait for things to come through when they do. And I just think it really takes that element of pressure off. And it can also be so hard for people to explain what they are seeing as well. I've found that some people seem to move through their lives really slowly. And then other people see about 10 different lives in 3 or 4 seconds, and there's just no time for them to let you know what's happening.
I've only had one client that's seen multiple lives. Everybody else seems to stick with just that one, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, in the group, that particular group with the rabbit, they had some phenomenal. One of them saw their life as a Lyrian commander, you know, and a life is that. One saw herself as an 1800s farmer whose wife died. And, you know, yeah, it was that group. That was interesting. That was, they got the most of the group past life regressions I've gotten. And again, they were at home. So, yeah, I think it does make a difference for that.
Oh, that's fantastic. So if people are wanting to sign up for one of your group sessions or even sign up for either your classes or a Reiki session, what is the best way to contact you? Where can people find you online?
So the human side of things with classes and Reiki sessions and past life regression is Namaste Spiritual Healing. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, TikTok. I'm getting ready to start a YouTube channel. I haven't done it yet, but yeah, I plan on doing that. And then for the animal side, for the animal Reiki and animal communication, it's Beak, Bark, and Beyond. And again, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Beautiful. Awesome. I'll definitely include all those links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Michelle. Is there anything else you wanted to share with people?
You know, if you feel like you're being drawn to something, if you feel like you're being drawn to learn Reiki, pay attention. You know, pay attention to that because it could be your calling. You know, whether you use it just on yourself or you decide to teach or whatever. But yeah, I've noticed over the years, if I'm drawn to something, it's probably because I'm supposed to do it. So, yeah. And try to talk to your animals. You never know.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Michelle as much as I did. Michelle has a really fun social media segment called Tales from the Rocking Chair. This is where she will share the experiences she has with animal communication. So if you love hearing these amazing stories, I highly recommend you give her a follow at Beak, Bark, and Beyond. If you have any questions about animal communication or Reiki, I know she would love to hear from you. Thank you again for staying curious and open-minded. I have some more really fun interviews coming up. One interview in particular I think will help a lot of people understand the massive changes we're seeing in the world lately. So I really hope that you will join me again for that. Take care of yourself, and until next time, don't forget to love without delay.